Hey, recruiting enthusiasts, I'm Priyanka, and welcome to Tech Recruiting Unfiltered podcast, a podcast for gaining all the insider knowledge about the top recruiters in the tech industry. This week, we are joined by Kamal Vinu, who's the Director, Head Talent Acquisition at Sapiens. Over the course of his 15 plus years in the recruitment industry, Kamal has gained extensive experience in the complete gamut of hiring. Welcome to the podcast, Kamal. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me here.
I'm thrilled to have you here as well. So how are you doing today?
All well, kicked about this.
Yeah. So, you know, to start off, can you tell us a bit about yourself and, you know, your role at Sapiens, as well as I want to know what is your favorite aspect about this industry as well?
Oh, okay. Intro, name's Vinu, actually. Kaimal is a surname, so call me Vinu.
Sure.
Been in here for around 17 years in this industry, more or less 16 odd years into recruitment as such. The first year was more or less into training with the healthcare domain, and this is with Manipal Hospitals, which I was associated with. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so been what 16 odd years into recruitment as such. As you said rightly, I've seen it all, and touch wood, it's going well. Good space to be in, good time to be in recruitment. It's changing the way we look at it right now with technology coming in and, you know, changing it in a good way rather. So good space, looking forward. Personally, I'm settled in Bangalore, Whitefield, more precisely. Married, wife's working with a captive society general again. She's a product owner there. Two kids and both in schools.
Awesome. And, you know, you've worked in a couple of industries, you know, ranging from IT to consulting and even banking, like you said. So how was your experience and the journey in each of them? And like, can you share with us any key takeaways from working in each sector?
Effectively, it's not very different as such. Different time of the times were different when we started hiring. When we started with Manipal, it was more training, as I said. When I moved into Emphasis, that was my first IT-related move. And that was into mass recruitment, as in there was no heard concept about, say, branding or candidate engagement or candidate experience as such and stuff. So it was, you know, you bring a crowd, you find the suitable ones, and then let the rest of them go. And more or less, you know, you find that very less work was happening between the time that you identify the candidate to bring the person on board. You know, what changed, or from an industry's perspective, that was possibly purely a services industry. Once it moved to Cognizant, which is a little bit into consulting as well as services, there were influence of tech-based tools which came into hiring as well. We tried some of the new ones then. It was Metal, if I'm not wrong, which we were experimenting with. It found immense success as well. We reduced, you know, panel interview time by around 60% at that point. A lot of emphasis was taken on to candidate engagements between the notice period to, you know, to the onboarding of the person. And a little bit of branding came into the forefront as well. Now, things drastically changed when I moved from a little bit of services and a consulting to a purely a consulting firm, which is like a big four Deloitte. And here we saw a lot of emphasis on the branding space of it. A lot of emphasis on candidate experience as such. And that evolved, and it's still evolving right now. We've seen that, you know, they were sought after for only the good ones at some point. Now it is more or less, you know, the rejects are also brand ambassadors for your firm from the interview process that you've done with them. So that way, it's evolved on the candidate engagement part as well. When it comes to a captive like a Soggen or a product like what I'm into right now, Sapiens, it's full-fledged into branding and candidate experience. Because when you look at it, you see that you're competing against some of the big names in the industry, like an Amazon or a Walmart. And, you know, the talent which they seek are the ones which we seek as well. Now, they are much deeper on probably on the pockets, but you see that, you know, they've been laying off people left, right, and center. Touch wood, we are not in that space at all. We do our hiring very considerably, and we make sure that we hire the right numbers and make sure that their career is safe. So those experiences, which is evolving, is the change that I've seen with time. Of course, with time going on, I think the tool-based hiring has also taken a mature turn. I'm sure from your parent company, WCP, as well, is also into this space and is gearing into, you know, what can be a game changer as such. So I think, you know, those are the evolutions which I've seen in this space.
Yeah, that's great. And you touched a bit upon like how you have seen the evolution, before when tech was used and now. So like, and even the assessments and the whole talent market as well. So I wanted to ask you a bit about that as well. So how, like, over the couple of years, how have you seen the assessments evolve as well as the the candidate market, and how has the technology, assessment tools, all of that evolved? Can you tell me a bit about that as well?
I think when we started off in late 2010 or 11, if I'm not wrong, Mettle, the company that we were partnering with, everybody was open for, getting into doing this test. In fact, we used to bring people over a Saturday into the firm and get systems arranged and do this test for all of them who come in. And everybody were acceptance of the process as such. Now, when you look at it, I think it's a candidate's market when it gets to the interview phase. There are a lot of drops which happen. It's not ideal to be calling in people without screening the profiles. There needs to be some kind of checks done before the person is invited into your interview process to make sure that both the companies as well as the candidate's time is not wasted. And that's where this particular step is very important. Where we see its success is that you see that your hit ratio goes up quite drastically for the ones who are clearing the test. And again, it's about how you can customize your test for the crowd who's coming in. Not everybody needs to be, the ace of the pack. Every requirement requires a tweak on the test that we, seek to implement rather. So identifying that mix is the right solution is what I presume. It's at least brought success to us. We have quite a number of roles where we do tests through an online or a, tool-based platform. Not everything is as tough as the other rather. So finding that right mix is important, and I think that's where the success of the process would determine.
Great. And I was going through your LinkedIn profile as well, and a few of the areas, focus areas of expertise of yours really like caught my attention. You've been involved in and have some expertise in setting up recruitment process for offshore locations, if I'm not wrong. So like, so now how did you go about the entire process? Like, can you walk me through it? And how did you manage to like minimize the skill gaps, especially because it's often a major concern?
Yeah, so it's not a reinventing the wheel as such, but there are quite number of steps that you need to take to get this set up. First would possibly be to understand what exactly is the job description that you need before going on the quest of finding the right candidate as such. Not all job descriptions are in the right shape, and I can guarantee you that because between a good candidate getting interested in the role versus all kind of profiles coming in, the gap is that the JD is not properly written or it's not igniting the interest of the right candidate rather. So the setting up process would start there to identify what is exactly sought after and how you effectively communicate that with the target population, and also to understand if that particular skill is available in the market or not, and in your in the parameters that you want to search for. There would be a compensation bracket for it. There would be location constraints of it. And there would be right now with the things evolving, a work from office versus work from home concepts as well. So between that, finding the right mixture and making sure that the document is well scripted is of prime importance. The second, or in no order of importance rather, I would say having the right process for it. There are processes where there is a captive functioning in India right now, which boasts about 16, 17 rounds of interview. From my take, I think it's just killing the candidate's inquisitiveness about being available for the role. It needs the right process, and I'm sure it could be streamlined much better. We at Sapiens at least have made sure that we do only two rounds of interview with the right checks. It could be possibly a panel interviewing for first rounds and the second rounds, but it stops at two rounds. So likewise, you identify the right process for each of the skill sets that you need to hire. Then brand yourself well, as in a firm which is possibly setting up shop here needs to identify the target population that it needs to be calling the target segment. And branding yourself as a tech destination or their destination is important. It could happen by different, modes. Could be the platforms that they've been identified, like social platforms or hackathon model, where you identify some of the good developers in the country. Then, you know, use of social media for branding is also important. We understand that, you know, perception about the firm is much more important to be on a positive front than calling it out every day. Once hit you that the company is good, it stays in your mind. And it takes quite a lot of negative approach from other firms that need to unlearn what you've learned about a company firsthand. I think on a positive note, I think branding is important. And the way you do it in this world, in this times, social marketing is very important. So that's another step that you'd have to take when you're setting up shop of an outsourced firm here. Then I think having the right partners for your search. You talk about having the right vendor support from agencies, and you know, when you do say put the process together for finding a good candidate, and say for example a Java kind of a skill set, you'll have a zillion candidates out there in the market. Now, to streamline whom you want to spend time with is where you know, you have this, the products that we spoke about, the online testing tools and stuff. Utilize them rightly to find out the target population that you want to invest time with. As I earlier spent some time on the candidate experience, that's of prime importance. You understand that it is, it creates, it makes or breaks a relationship when it comes to hiring. It could be the best of companies, but if you don't give the right respect for the candidate, at the end of the day, the person would think about joining the firm or not. Yeah. Right. So candidate experience would be of prime importance. More importantly, it's between that, you know, you always take care of who's getting selected, like, you know, you give them right feedbacks, you engage them throughout their notice period, you might send them goodies in the meantime, you have, you know, multiple round of people talking to them, from the business to the HR to the recruiters, etc. But what are you doing about that crowd which gets rejected? Exactly. You know, maintaining them, or, you know, their brand as ambassadors to your process. I've heard about some of our candidates talking great about the firm after getting rejected as well, saying that, you know, they got the right kind of attention whenever they had a doubt about the process and all, we were there to help and stuff. So I think managing the rejects well is very important to creating a good brand for yourself. And then again, you know, there is, the next step would be to understand how well you can onboard the person identified into the firm. A lot of training programs come in to make the person hit the ground running, or possibly make the person ready for quick turnaround to start work. Having said this, it's all about, you know, when it comes to recruitment, you should have the right team for it. And, you know, having the team's back is always important. From at least from a level perspective, I should have the confidence that my team is doing what it needs to and doing it the best way possible. There could be many other things that we could bring to the table, but at the moment, there would be some restrictions about doing it in any different way. Could be, you know, the budgets needs to be spent versus the availability of manpower to do it and stuff. But at the end of it, if you have a good team which does justice to the vision that you have about bringing a person the right way into the firm, I think you're more or less sorted. And again, you know, very importantly, it is also to keep business posted about how the hiring status has been. You know, you need to keep them updated about how you're progressing versus where you found success, or where you've tried something which is new and did not work out, versus what we need to evolve towards as well. Both recruitment as well as the business. It's not a, you know, it's not one team finding that right person. It's about partnership between the business and the recruitment team to identify the person and then handhold the person into the firm. Combination of this is what I would say works when you're setting up something new here.
Yeah, you know, awesome. You've given some really great, you know, steps and the tips to how to do, you know, successful offshore recruiting. And I really like the part where you've mentioned that Sapiens is doing a, you know, great job at managing and, you know, having a good relationship with the rejected folks as well. And, you know, mainly getting that clarity and streamlining the whole process. And make sure to write the, you know, effective JDs at very short and crisp. I just had a follow-up question on that one. So far, like, how have we been able to successfully maintain, you know, relationships with the rejected folks? Do you have any tips on that?
Yeah, so first is to create a very healthy culture of feedbacks. We ensure that we keep them posted about how they've fared in their processes here. because I think we owe it to them. They've spent probably a day interviewing with us, and it's important that we keep them notified about how that process went versus even if they're probably not the first person to be identified for the job. There could be scenarios where they would be the backup. We keep them posted about the delay which could possibly come up or any feedbacks as such, any specific skill set which they are lacking. We could possibly go back to them and say that, you know what, did not work out, but here's something that our experts thought you should work on. And they would it would probably help them to streamline their search further. So that way we keep them notified about whatever we could share with them. There are areas where which could be confidential. We definitely keep that away, but you know, certainly we can help build up their gaps rather. So that's one area that we see value in. And of course, when you go back to somebody with a positive note, it's always welcome. There are areas where people have been inquisitive about how probably their interview they thought went well versus it did not possibly, you know, fit the bill for us. We check back, we give them some details about what possibly we could analyze and could not fit the bill. It's just not that they're not good at something. It's more that, you know, we were looking for square pegs, but they were round pegs. So we make them understand about what was the gap and, you know, then shake hands rather.
Yeah, mainly the feedback mechanism and the communication needs to be transparent. Yeah, yeah. Awesome.
Keep engaged. This community also is something that we keep engaging with. I mean, tomorrow there might be a role which they would fit into.
Yeah.
Right. So we keep them engaged through our portals and other means of communication, citing areas where they could collaborate further in future with us.
Yeah, true. And I think like you've worked quite a bit on the, you know, lateral and the campus hiring as well. And you've mastered the skill in that. And so like and so like if we talk about, you know, lateral hiring, so what are some of the factors you always like consider, and what strategies have you found successful in, you know, identifying and attracting the most qualified talent for these roles, and what are some major hurdles you have faced?
I think when you talk to somebody who is sought after, there should be a story around why you're reaching them. It cannot be just that you're going to be one brick in the wall. You should be able to specify why that particular brick is going to be the cornerstone, right? And once you effectively communicate that, I think half of your job is done. The inquisitiveness or the interest from hiring that person is actually moved to the other person saying that, okay, I want to be part of this firm. So their interest in coming forward for an interview or our needs about identifying certain skill sets and assessing them further and further would be easy. So that way, I think, you know, the storytelling part of it is very important. You need to sell the role very effectively to the person. And it's all, you know, a way of candid experience as such at the end of it, right? You talk about how you make the person feel comfortable versus citing the importance of that role versus why that person seems to be the right fit for the role would bring a interest to get the person interested to working with you. So in a lateral space, I think that works more or less like magic. I mean, there are roles where, you know, you don't get to do this. Whom are we kidding? We're talking about mass numbers versus the niche ones. The mass numbers, definitely you cannot go about giving a lot of selling on it. There would be mass drives which happen. But when it comes to a one-on-one discussion is when you get to do this, right? But this becomes a part of it at that point. But when you're looking at the 20% which has been niche versus leadership and all, this is the starting point. You start engaging with the candidate first and then you bring down the person to an interview, and then possibly there is no role as well for that person at the moment. But you create a passive pool of such candidates who would fit the bill at some point in time. And it pays off when you have a critical role which is opened up and you have a set of people who can be actually looked at immediately. You don't have to do the selling again. And so that becomes a success story. So candidate experience, storytelling on how you need to sell the role is very important. I think as a spoiler or the hurdle that you asked for, I think compensation in this market has actually been a spoiler at most of the times. At least in the last 1.5 years time, you see that, you know, whenever you talk to a candidate, I'm sure person would be holding at least 5 offers with them. Now, how much of that is possible to be countered is a different story. How much, I mean, it defeats the purpose of having a genuine discussion at all. The person would hear from the candidate, the recruiter would hear from the candidate that he or she is very genuinely interested in the role, but carries another 5 offers with them. So it's a puzzle to understand if the person is actually keen about the role with you or not. Having said that, I think what we can do is to put the right step forward and keep them informed about what are the nuances about the role. And if it matches, well and fine, we have a relationship then. If not, on a courtesy sake, we should inquire about keeping us posted if you're not considering the offer. And that also is a discussion which is not, which is a little touching on the emotional side of it rather than the logic base, right? Unless you talk, you know, in a sense that you're friends with the person, they would not open up to you, say that, thank you so much, but I'm not considering your offer. They would still keep it saying that, okay, I didn't want to upset the firm. Let's just call it, quits. And one mail which says that, thank you so much, but I couldn't join. It's anyway, it does not help the relationship further. So I think the recruiter needs to actually have that building of the bond where he or she can communicate back and shake hands in the right sense, saying that, you know what, something else came up and I'm picking that up. So that's mostly compensation related declines which happen. Lately, I've seen that, the 5 offers have come down to at least 1 or 2 offers. Not that the scenario has changed, but, it's more approachable right now. When you look at the scenario right now in the industry, it's not a candidate market. It's not an employer market. It's a give and take rather.
Yeah, true. So but how different is this whole process when it comes to campus hiring, and how do you approach campus hiring?
Completely different, I should say. The relationship building is not with the candidate in the first instance, it's with the college. So how we started it here was with Sapiens, at least we're new to this journey because it's only after, last 2 years that we've got into full-fledged campus hiring. It was more or less finishing school hiring and all earlier. Now we have got a very well-laid strategy to it. We identified our target segments. There are R&D centers in India. It's Sapiens right now, which looks at the IIT crowd versus the delivery centers would look at, the NITs and tier 2 brackets. And of course, there are needs for us to look at the tier 3 as well. So, but identifying the right set of colleges is very key. How you engage with them it should be very creatively done as well, because they've got a zillion other companies coming and knocking their doors.
Yeah.
Versus, one of the firms like us going and talking to them. But when we partner with them, we try to understand what are they struggling with and where we can do some bit of taking their load off tutoring the students or bringing that gap. The universities versus the companies gap needs to be brought down. So those kind of areas, we try to collaborate with them, co-curate some of the courses which could help the candidate, the students further in getting a right job, doing some career counseling and stuff, which would bring their interest areas forward, saying what do you want to do at the end of the day? It's quite obvious that you've finished an engineering, but not everybody would want to do, a testing kind of a work or a delivery kind of work. Somebody needs to actually look for further studies. So, but they, out of pressure and other scenarios, they want to look for a job opening at the moment and possibly revisit this in 2 years. It's not going to help the firm. So you need to identify that much in advance and make sure that, you guide them the right way so that you don't lose 2 years of your time going behind a company and doing a testing activity there, versus finding a right mix of the company that they want to join it. It's about, finding the right colleges, to be very short on it, and engaging with them in the right sense. We went one step further while identifying the students from some of those colleges. We did something very, received us a lot of applause. Priyanka, when you bagged your first job, what did you do first?
What did I do? As in, how did I celebrate?
How did you celebrate? What was the first thing that once you got the call saying that you've bagged the offer, what did you do first? Did you call your parents?
Yeah, that was the first
exactly.
thing. Yeah.
So what we did was, in most of our first round of, the interviews happened online, which means, this candidate is sitting at their house and possibly locked out from the rest of the family.
Yeah.
We called in the parents and broke the news to them that, your kid has got a job with us and how fortunate we are to have your ward come and interview for us. And cited examples like, you know, the person has aced our interview process. They've been very great at our in talking to our panels. They all thought highly about the student, about the kid rather. And, you know, and then backed it up saying that, okay, we are fortunate that we are giving this job opportunity to your kid. So that really struck well. A lot of emotion coming through
it's
for the family.
Emotional moment, yeah.
Yes,
really
yes.
Nice.
The kids started crying, the family started crying, and some instances my recruiters also started crying. But you know, it went well because when an industry saw a 25% of decline in the campus space, we had three percentage declines.
Wow. And
it's been following this year as well. I'm hoping that, you know, now we've got the interns joining in and some of the campus joining in stuff. We've seen 100% conversion at the moment. So I think it's a mix of, you know, the emotions which also apply in. And I'm glad that we're trying new stuff, being innovative and trickling the emotional side of the candidate as well.
Yeah, amazing, Vinu. I really loved your answer, especially like where you talked about having the emotional connect with the, you know, candidates and the initiative you have undertaken, you know, to include more of the human side in the hiring. I don't think a lot of companies are, you know, doing that, especially, you know, such an initiative which has added, like, which has an impact. And this is something which the candidate will remember, you know, for the rest of his or her life, because it's a very beautiful and, you know, emotional moment. He or she is going to remember and cherish it, you know, forever. And bringing the decline ratio, you know, like you mentioned, from 25% to 3%. Now that's some fantastic work, you know, like hats off to you and your team.
Thank you.
And so, you know, as the director of, you know, TA in Sapiens, so what are a few like key initiatives, you know, you have taken in Sapiens to manage tech hiring efficiently?
I think it's a mix of a lot of things, tools which we partner with and identify which ones would work for us versus what we shy away from, you know, different requests which come from business for including a psychometric analysis versus, you know, doing only face-to-face interviews, etc. But I think it needs a fresh look from the candidates per se as well, and identifying those challenges about, can this break someone's interest to join you, the right candidate's interest to join you, that is key. And I think we've maintained a healthy mix of it right now. There are areas where we insist on tool-based test to make the target pool smaller. At the end of what we are looking, we intend to reduce the target segment that we need to invest time with. We got all 24 hours right now. Whom do you want to spend those 24 hours is the question, right? And further lesser, when you're working, and possibly going to be, as you'll see, a CV is for, what, 10, 15 seconds at the best? You want to invest that 10, 15 seconds in the right CV. You don't want to invest in the 10,000 odd, which would not, you know, be a suitable match for you. So to identify that sect, I think the tools come into play. How you adapt to technology is very important. There are different tools right now in the market which comes in. I think there are the AI-based tools which are coming in is very important to see how it evolves the hiring space. It's pretty much at a nascent stage right now, but with ChatGPT coming into picture, we understand that, okay, did we think wrong about this coming in possibly 2 decades from now and then thinking that it's already here? So, you know, you tend to understand that there needs to be a reality check into the process very often. So that's that becomes one of the initiatives that I've taken to keep a tight check on the process as such. Team-based, I think what we did was to keep the basics right initially itself, strengthen the team, empower them to take some of the decisions which needed them to cross up to the ladder to me possibly to take one. I don't need to know some of the decisions at all. I'm sure they've done their due diligence and I've put the right checks and balance rather. So strengthening it, you know, empowering them, then, you know, an effective communication of the hiring status with the businesses at irregular intervals is very key. It shouldn't be that they kept it dark about how the hiring has been progressing. If you have a regular checkpoint every week or every 2 weeks, it would talk about how we have progressed. And if there is any tweak or any fine tuning required, it could come at the right time. So that becomes an effective tool. Then choosing the right partners for hiring as such, you know, you need to have the right vendor support at times. Not everybody can be found out by in-house your recruiter team. There needs to be a set of boutique agencies which could find the right mix for you. Keeping them aware of what the company is going through, how we are evolving, and doing a bit of our selling through them is very important. So keeping them posted about our evolution is very critical. I think we've also innovated with a lot of data-centric decisions while planning the workforce. When you talk about a healthy combination of discussions with the business saying, okay, this is a role we will not be able to work, is also part of my KRAs. So we to understand, to push back and make sure that, it's a workable target. There could be areas where they would look at the Superman plus Spider-Man, but yes, has to be a Wonder Woman as well. Now, it's not workable. You don't get all three of them in one suit. So we need to push back at times to with data, and where, English has to stop talking to the business, the data would start talking. That's where we bring data to the discussion, saying that, you know what, this is the market outside. What you're expecting is probably 1% of the community, and we're not there. Yeah, I'm sure you want to have that Superman, but I don't think the person would stay back after a point, because at some point we need to understand our limitations about the kind of work that we can give them. They would possibly look at developing something like ChatGPT. We're not in that space. We don't need those Supermen as well, or the Wonder Woman rather. Having that kind of tough conversations as well is required. We've further innovated gamifying recruitment. We've made sure that the teams that I have, we've got a competition between them, a healthy one rather, to see how they gross points. And it's not number of joiners. It has to be, the complexity is to be taken into consideration as well. Like the nicheness of the skill versus the level at which the person has been identified, or the source as well. You're looking at an agency source which somebody else has sourced, or you do it yourself, and that requires a real hard effort put in. So that would gross more points. In the end of it, it's all a game between the three teams right now, saying who's grossed the most point in a month. So that became a good way to have a healthy competition between the team, incentivize the recruiter as well. We saw that money is definitely a motivating factor. Not always that, a recruiter is always best paid in the industry, and I'm sure we've seen that. We see recruiters jumping ship between an year itself, saying that, I'm getting a lakh more there. So we kind of tried incentivizing their efforts, and that struck well. I think from the past 1 year and 2 months, out of a 30-member team, I've had only two or three move outs. So I think we've done something right there as well. People seem to be happy about the kind of work that we're doing. And then, doing some events like a hackathon or diversity drives, career being part of the career drives outside in the market, upskilling them at right junctures to see how newer technology or newer ways of hiring can help. Those kind of innovations we are already doing.
Yeah, I think you've shared some really great initiatives, and I think you're doing a fantastic job at Sapiens, and building the teams, and the entire strategy it's going really great. And something I'm curious to know is, especially now in the I want to know, what are the biggest hurdles you have faced, pre and post pandemic, and the downturn as well, and how have you developed your entire hiring plan, and for finding the right fit, and how have your learnings from, the previous companies helped you in overcoming these challenges, as well as the mainly the role of tech as well in this whole thing?
I think what we did when the pandemic struck, and I was with a different firm at that point, was to use tech to keep steady supply of profiles which are filtered already, which means, as I said, the earlier example, you've got a zillion Java professional out there. Java is one of the skill sets where we hire in mass numbers, but the time taken is almost the same, as in you take 3 months and above to get the right person in at some of the instances as well. But what would that's the notice period. What you can reduce is to see how that identification phase can be reduced. So that, I think what we did was, with the use of technology and tool like WCP, identified a target population. We took them through the test and kept them ready. And as and when we had positions open up, we used to get selects from this test being assessed first for interviews and taken further. So where we could partner with the business about reducing the identification phase was critical, and that was applauded at that moment as well. I think this time when you look at an economic downturn and stuff, it's not in your control. You have to be fungible, right? There are areas where I'm sure, most of the biggies who are downsizing right now are doing it with a stone on their heart, rather.
Yeah.
They're not doing it out of pleasure. They need to do it, otherwise they wouldn't probably survive. And being fungible and making sure that you have the right numbers is critical for a phase like this. Personally, me, I think we've been assessing the scenario as to how the business is progressing on their sale with the clients and making sure that we do, a likewise pace control here. There are areas where we have gone slow. There are areas where we have gone really fast about identifying somebody and getting only immediate joiners. But there are, as I said, going slow with the pace of, say, 3 months notice, plus finding only the right person for the job and possibly losing out the ones which are there in hand, saying that, okay, they are near fits, which possibly at a good time and when we are ramping up, we could have possibly selected. We possibly park for now and look at only the exact fits as well. So that's one change that we kind of do to make sure that we hire the right person and at the right time, rather. So being fungible is the key. Yeah, that's the only thing that we can think about right now.
Awesome. And, so before we wrap up our conversation, so I want to ask, so your experience in this industry goes back to, more than 1.5 decades. So what would be your advice to the budding recruiters out there?
Advice? I'm not sure I'm in the right space to advise as such. But I think, at an early stage in their career, I think they should be getting their hands dirty. Get into it, do it yourself, and that's when you learn the trick. You understand the tough points then and make sure that you learn from it. More importantly, I think you need to be in a space which allows you to innovate. There are firms which do not, want to innovate. They want to just make sure that the numbers keep coming in. But
yeah,
at a stage when you're learning, and if you're not innovating, I think you're losing that critical years of, learning. Rather. So I think they need to find that right mix of what a good company can award you as a compensation versus a smaller firm which would let you innovate and try newer ways of recruiting. And that can be a solid base for building up your career further on. It can give you a lot of innovative ideas at a later point, give you data points to talk about when you're talking in a forum like this, possibly. A lot of areas where they would be sought after at some point. And you need to actually, try those new ones in the industry to be relevant probably 5 years from now.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. And, that brings us to the end of our conversation. I had a great time chatting with you, Vinu. And yeah, I love the insights you've shared with us today. So yeah, thank you so much for joining Tech Recruiting Unfiltered podcast.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to Tech Recruiting Unfiltered podcast. We hope you enjoyed as well as learned from it. To gain more such insights, join us for our next episode. You can follow us on LinkedIn at Technical Hiring Showcase page and our website technical-hiring.com to receive all the updates. That's all for this episode, folks. See you next time.